This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. Beautiful day outside. It's going to be warmer today. And don't see a cloud in the sky, just absolutely gorgeous. And it's even better for me because I have my friend Dan Whittle on today. And this part of his show is brought to you by At Home Care. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace, because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means that home care is hands-on and involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, 713-4639, online at homecaretennessee.com. That telephone number again is 713-4639, At Home Care, your number one source for the best care in Middle Tennessee. Good morning, Mr. Dan Whittle.
How do you memorize all that stuff? Boy, you got a great mind.
You know, I really do.
Yeah, and you're humble with it.
Yes, I am.
Humility is your strongest suit.
I believe humility stands at the top. You know, it's a great season. You were talking about you had your little Christmas get-together with your guys, Murfreesboro Post.
Last night had the shrimp and grits at Paleo's Restaurant, Living Good. We had a wonderful Christmas party and the fellowship. And it's always good to see your associates away from the workplace where you get to meet the family a little bit and just chit-chat and visit and, you know, visit in the real sense of the word, actually listen to what the other person's saying and that sort of thing.
It does make it special. Bart Walker had us all over at his house the other night. And, you know, I got to meet a lot of the people that I've been listening to their voices
for
but haven't seen their faces.
Have you ever noticed how sometimes they actually look like they sound, but sometimes they don't? Has that ever surprised you?
We were talking about it earlier, and it does, because very rarely if I meet somebody and I've heard their voice and I haven't heard them say anything when I'm around them, I would never realize that was. I ran into Robert Rickman, first time I have seen his face at the party that night. And one of the nicest people, but I was telling him he has one of these voices that just kind of flows and makes you, it just eases you and relaxes you. I wish I had that kind of voice. I've never had. I think I'm one of those people that people start drawing their guns on as soon as they hear my voice.
You know, I started out in voice media and everything that they said with a voice like mine, I ought to get in newspapers. So that told me a lot, I thought.
Well, I can tell you one thing. You can coin a phrase or you can say things that gets people's attention. We were having lunch yesterday out at Miller's, and Bud Mitchell and Kay and the whole nine, Charlie Pinkerton, and Lisa Mitchell showed up. And you know Lisa.
I got to meet her at Spelling Bee.
She's over all of that over there. And we were talking about you, and you're one of those people that is naturally able to go out and get the ear of the public, especially for special causes that go in. You've been with the so many different groups Habitat for Humanity and the Fisher House, and you did the Granny Whittle and all that. What is it that gets your that gives you the ability? Of course, I know you've got a big heart, but you go out and people enjoy you. At the Spelling Bee, you were the life of the party. I mean, you really were. You were so much fun over there. And it's the only time that I've been to the Spelling Bee, that people were just breaking up and laughing all over the place.
And well, you can't script it. It just happens, and you can't plan it. It just happens. I had a very good time at the Spelling Bee. We had a great time up there on stage. The pressure was on and everything. But that night, you know, I just relaxed and go with the flow. That's one thing that I'm praying about. I may change. Some people in the community have asked the Post and me to reconsider reinstituting Whittlemania as a fundraiser in the community here, uh-huh. like we did for Habitat. And I'm praying and really studying about Read to Succeed as being our main fundraiser if we do resurrect Whittlemania. We're not decided on it full yet, but we're thinking about it and praying about it real hard.
Well, if you've got a winning combination, which you happen to have with some of your characters that you've displayed over the years, of course, mm-hmm. I know your mama, Miss Ruby, she didn't care too much for the Miss Granny Whittle character.
I took that cookbook in. Actually, Ron Fryer threatened to fire me if I didn't do the cookbook with me mm-hmm. dressed up in drag as my grandmother. Okay, Granny.
Well, that's just one of the times he threatened to fire you.
And anyway, I took that cookbook in. Mother was about 3 months from passing away at Peachtree Nursing Home in Smyrna. And I took the cookbook in, and we'd done a lot of work, and it was well done. Mm-hmm. I finally took the finished product in to Mother. Mother was laying in her bed there at the nursing home, and I handed the cookbook to Mother, and she frown came on her face. Hmm. And I said, well, Mama, don't you like the book? You're into cooking, always a good cook. And she said, son, I'm worried about you. She said, you've worked all your life to become known as a writer, and here you come out to this stage of life as a cross-dresser. That's priceless humor. That's real-life humor, and it just cracked me up, man.
Now, you're constantly, like I have guests on, who I think are the most interesting people in the world. It's the most fun job. Or it's the most fun thing I've ever done, because I have learned so much, and I've had so many of the listeners just compliment so many of the guests that we've had on. And it's just, to me, it's the easiest job in the world, relating to interesting people who are so interesting to me. I think I'm one of the common guys that I love to hear all of the greatness mm-hmm. and the wonderful things that people have done all their lives, and you're able to put that to print, which to me is it's difficult. What I do is spontaneous.
You have a natural gift, though. You are very relaxed, and that's natural. That's something you can't learn. That's something that's not taught. You either have it or you don't, and you make it easy for your guests.
Well, when you're around people, you're supposed to make them the most important person there is.
Now, that's what I practice in journalism. That's my key right there. If I have a key to my limited success, is the subject that I'm involved with at the time is the most important subject that in my world at that time. Everybody's important if you go sit and listen. I'm working on a column right now involving the robbery of the Bank of Auburn Town back in 1962. Well, the sheriff was named Ashford in Woodbury at that time. And when the bank robbery happened, of course, they called the sheriff's office in Woodbury. Well, sheriff's department cars were all broke down that morning. Daddy Rabbit was the sheriff's nickname. Hmm. Daddy Rabbit hired a taxi cab in Woodbury, Tennessee, and went to Auburn Town and caught his men. Daddy Rabbit was on the job. He always got his man, and he did it in a taxi cab. True story.
Was the meter running?
I don't know, man, but he got his men.
That could have broken Cannon County.
But stuff like that is just priceless if you'll sit and listen.
You think back, if you've got any age on you at all, things have changed so rapidly, because I remember back, and I wasn't all that young, that the deputies drove their own cars. Everything, there wasn't anything hardly furnished for them at all. And they actually responded. They had the radios put in and everything else. And, of course, the communication was so passe.
Well, this brings up, I'm going to politic a little bit here on you. I'm about to get on my soapbox in my columns in the Post, in the Murfreesboro Post and the Kenan Courier. Williamson County announced yesterday they may quit doing funeral processions for the public.
Bad news.
And I am so against. That's one of the things that I love about Tennessee is we still respect families in their time of need. I hope Williamson County never abandons that practice, and I hope Rutherford County. And if Murfreesboro is trying to abandon it, I urge them not to abandon the funeral processions. That is such a needed service to our community in a time. And these are taxpayers, mm-hmm. and they need us at that point in time.
Right. There was a time when it did come up here, and I'm like you. That is the last time you can pay respects for a person's life. And it's also, it's some ways, the family, people don't realize how much that means to the family when they see that amount of respect. It's just the number of people that come into the funeral home that pay their respects to their loved one mm-hmm. that they've lost. And to have that last time, it's almost like when the military is playing taps for the fallen soldier, mm-hmm. it brings a tear to my eyes every time.
Sends a chill down my spine when I hear taps.
When Dr. Rulon had his funeral, it was a law enforcement, public safety, military funeral, because as when they left, it was communication between the dispatch, the communication center, and the people, the cars there at the gravesite. And it is the most awesome thing when you hear them talk about Dr. Rulon as a law enforcement mm-hmm. officer and all what he meant to the community. And then at the final, very final part, and to this day, it just rips me apart, is when they say, "Thank you for your service. Dr. Rulon is now 10-7. And 10-7 means out of service.
Out of service. Yeah. And one of the first things I fell in love with Tennessee when I moved here in 71 from Missouri is Tennessee still stops on the side of the road.
Both sides.
Both sides. Mm-hmm. Even four-lane highways.
Right.
Some states will actually can arrest you for doing that. This state still does it, and I really respect that.
Tennessee, I hope, will always have those sentiments, the respect for each one of their citizens, of the state citizens, when something like that happens. And if you cannot take a few minutes to pull over and honor that person as he goes by for the last time, there's something wrong. If we ever lose that, I think we've lost the ability to care. I really do. I think you get too rushed in your times. Mm-hmm. We all get too rushed. We don't call the people that we mm-hmm. need to during, especially in special mm-hmm. times. Well, here we are in the holidays. People go through tough times. And they think back of the people that they've mm-hmm. lost. We all do that.
Suicide rates go up this time of the year.
But all it takes sometimes is just a phone call to say, "Hey, Dan, you know, thinking about you, hope mm-hmm. you're all doing right." And, you know, maybe bring a little jolly into it and enjoy mm-hmm. each other's company. That's all it takes. I mean, it's the best remedy for any type of downward spiral that people may be going through.
A smile, a pat on the back, courtesy as in funeral processions and everything. I'm proud of my church. I go to Smyrna Parkway Baptist Church, mm-hmm. and we have a family there due to sickness and a bad car accident that were way behind in their house payments, worked all of their lives, have grown children, and they were about to lose their home. And day before yesterday, we found out due to some church people in our little church, they're catching up 7 months of behind house payments for that family. That is Christmas to me. That makes the holiday. That blessed me to no end yesterday to find out that our little congregation had done that in the spirit of the Christmas season.
You know, I was listening to Scott this morning. He was talking about, has Christmas become too commercialized? And they did, I think he said about 4,000 people were part of the survey, and almost 90% of the people that were interviewed said that it has become too commercialized. And I know that it's the time of year that that keeps a lot of the businesses going. I've heard stats over the years that say that the biggest time for the businesses to actually be able to break even or make money is during the Christmas holidays, because I mean, you pick up any type of advertisement. I mean, it's all over the place. All the sales that are going on, and this is a time to shop, and just try to get through town from between 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock p.m.
Speaking of that, I came in a little early this morning to get gasoline, and before I live in Smyrna, and as I got into Murfreesboro, I'm thinking, wow, at the traffic. And I stopped at a service station to gas my car up.
Oh, his gas has gone down, too.
It has, and what a blessing it was to fill my car up this morning. But the cars were lined up two and three deep at each pump, and there's about eight pumps there. And I thought, man, we are a thriving community. The recession must be over in Middle Tennessee.
I wish sometimes, and of course, we've got to have businesses strong. I mean, it makes our community stronger. And of course, it helps all of us. But there is one movie that I watch every Christmas, and I've seen it three times already. And it's Miracle on 34th Street, where Gimbel's and Macy's, and of course, all of the big businesses are in competition for as much of the overflow business that you get during Christmas. And then they came out with this thing, well, if we don't have it, let's start giving our competitors the business. And then, of course, when Macy's started it, Gimbel's started, because they were getting so much good feedback over that.
Publicity.
And you know, if you can carry the holiday spirits over through that, I think it benefits everybody. But still, the worst thing you can do is worry about getting somebody a gift or sending. I think cards are really nice, but if you focus too much on the things rather than what Christmas is supposed to be about, not Xmas, but Christmas.
Absolutely.
Focus on what that's all about and renew friendships. You're more rewarded with that than anything else you can do.
Well, I agree with that survey that they had on WGNS this morning. In fact, Thanksgiving, because of the commercialism, the spirit of Thanksgiving is more of a blessing to me. I enjoy Thanksgiving more than I do Christmas because of that pressure that's associated with it now, and the helter-skelter scheduling for families. And there's a lot of pressures associated with Christmas in this day and age.
When you first came into the Murfreesboro area, when you first came here, you were kind of an outsider. You knew hardly anybody here. And now you've almost become a staple. What would you attribute that to? Because I know the first time I ever saw you, which has been many years ago now. And I was impressed.
And you've aged a lot since then.
I have aged a lot. And I was impressed with a way that you were able to communicate, and your sense of humor, which was a down-home type sense of humor, and you didn't take yourself very seriously. And I never have forgotten that, because very few people in the media impressed me. They really, especially during that particular time.
And we've earned that disrespect.
I'm not saying it's as much disrespect. It was just hard to have a good relationship with some people.
I judge a lot of public officials, a lot of journalism, a lot of public figures this way. A good legislator that serves in the state legislature. The good legislator is a person that takes what they do serious, but don't take themselves too serious. John Hood was a perfect example of that. John Bragg was a perfect example
of that.
And they both had marvelous sense of humors, could laugh at themselves and everything. And I try to do that. I know I'm just an old country boy trying to get through this tough old world the best I can. So sense of humor, yeah. I love a good sense of humor.
You learn pretty quick which ones have substance and which ones don't. And it's easy to call press conferences and I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm for that. But the real root of it is when you're at the government body that you're doing most of your business with, what you're able to accomplish there, but the big thing is what you're listening to, and at least try to make an effort to be in those areas to see what's going on. And as you know as well as I do, whether you're running a business or you're in politics or whatever you're doing, you've got to use your heart in it when you're accepting that responsibility.
Public service.
But it's all pretty much common sense logic. If you do what you're supposed to be. I think sometimes if we had more logic and kind of throw out a lot of the political things, I don't think this country would be in near as bad a shape as it is right now. If you just go back to the grassroots, the common mm-hmm. efforts that people have put in our government for well over 200 years.
When I'm blessed to speak to young college journalism classes and high school journalism classes, I talk about a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. I also talk about the value of that human sitting across in the next desk to you. Mm-hmm. Everybody is important. Everybody has a story to tell. If we as Americans will take the time to still listen to one another, and I think we're losing a lot of that, the ability to actually listen to one another or want to listen to one another.
But, you know, common sense and a sense of humor. A sense of humor is, to me, one of the most important things that you can have in your life, because life is so short and it has its trials and tribulations, but you got to look at the good side. And I can remember back in the old movies of the 30s and the 40s, they would actually jive a little bit as toward the political things that were mm-hmm. going on, but it was all in fun and you could laugh at it. It didn't matter whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or whatever.
The cowboy, what was his name? Will Rogers?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
He was a genius at it, but he did the type of sense of humor that wasn't mean. Mm-hmm. It was a stylish, classy sense of humor.
No one man can ruin this country is too great for that, is what he would say.
Yeah, and a gift. He's one of my heroes in life.
I never will forget, I was watching an old movie, Ghostbreakers, with Bob Hope and Paulette Goddard. And Willie Best, one of my favorite comedians of all times. And they were getting ready to go over into Cuba. And they were talking about zombies. And this guy was trying, Rich Carlson was trying to explain to Bob Hope what a zombie was. It was some of these people that walked around with no mind of their own, just walking aimlessly in the day. Mm-hmm. And Bob Hope said, oh, you mean like a Democrat?
Yeah.
But see, it was funny. It really was. It wasn't demeaning at yeah. all. It's just the way that they reacted back then. You could say political things that were today would mm-hmm. be awful, politically incorrect, and back then it was just a normal way of relating to each other.
Common sense. You didn't take yourselves too serious. You knew it was humor. And the Jack Benny, when he passed away, the night he passed away, is. Was the only person, a celebrity type person, when he passed that I actually shed a tear for. He had that marvelous dry sense of humor, deadpan sense of humor, and so.
He could walk on stage and make me laugh.
And that's what I'm talking about. And we had that type of rare night at the Spelling Bee here locally. We thoroughly had a good time at the Spelling Bee. People just getting together. I guess there was 200-300 people at the Spelling Bee.
It was the best crowd they've had.
And we just all had just a high old time.
You were obviously the life of the party.
Well, you're very kind.
No, it's true. I was talking to Lisa Mitchell yesterday, and everybody that was there agreed. They just started laughing at some of the things we cannot say on the air. I don't know how it should have been censored right there at Patterson Park, to be honest with you, but really had a good time. And I have to tell a story on you. You cheated at the Spelling Bee.
I did.
A lot of people didn't realize it, but there was one word, and tell them how you cheated. We'll get it out.
The word is loathe, yeah. L-O-A-T-H. That is one correct spelling.
Not in my book.
Well, the dictionary say there's two ways, and both are accurate. Okay. I spelled it that way, L-O-T-H, loathe. And
you paused.
I paused, But I had spotted the judge down in front of me that rang the bell when you got kicked out of the tournament.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I kept waiting for.
When that, yeah, you had bet that I'd get kicked out by the second round.
After the second round, yeah.
All right. When I saw her finger twitch toward the bell after I'd spelled L-O-T-H, L-O-A-T-H, loath, and that finger started moving toward that bell, I said, E.
And Pat was sitting next to me going, E.
That's not cheating. That's smart.
No, it's not. That is cheating. And I do want to know that Brian just came on the air with us. And, you know, I always thought Brian was one of these guys that never said anything bad about anything that was going on at work. He loved work no matter what was going on. And I was sitting next to Heather.
His wife.
His wife. And she started opening up about how he would come home and complain and be so irritable because of... And she was looking at me when she said some of the people that he's having to deal with.
Talk about us, his associate, like we're dogs.
Yes.
That's what I've heard, too.
You have nothing to worry about there, Dan.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dan Whittle.
Right now, one in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. If you're one of them, I'm State Farm Agent Celeste Middleton, and I can help you get to a better state because I'll talk with you, listen to you, and help you put together a policy that has you written all over it, all backed by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Give me a call at 895-2700.
Get to a better state, State Farm.
I'm State Farm Agent Celeste Middleton. Give me a call at 895-2700.
Looking for a really smart gift for your child or grandchild this holiday? Something that won't break or need batteries? Try the Tennessee Department of Treasury's new Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program. If you open a Tennessee Stars account with at least $50 by December 31st, 2012, you get a one-time $50 match from the state. Roll over your entire balance from another college savings plan and receive $100 in your Tennessee Stars account. To learn about the Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program, its investment objectives, risks, and costs, read the official statement available at www.tnstars.com or call toll-free 855-386-7827. Check with your home state to learn if it offers tax or other benefits for investing in its own 529 plan. Tennessee Stars is the holiday gift that keeps on giving for a lifetime. Visit www.tnstars.com or call toll-free 855-386-7827 and open your account today.
Hi, I'm Nelson Mercado, pastor of the Murfreesboro Seventh-day Adventist Church. Have you been wondering what will happen on December 21st, 2012? Will the world as we know it come to an end? But what does the Bible say about the end of the world? Let's find out together. Join us on Friday, December 21st at 7 p.m. and on Saturday, December 22nd at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Our church is located at 2815 Elam Road in Murfreesboro. God bless you, and I hope to see you there.
Indicted for theft, I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. Tennessee Bureau of Investigation presented a case to the Rutherford County Grand Jury this month that returned an indictment against a Christiana, Tennessee man for stealing money from his Murfreesboro employer. Rutherford County Sheriff's deputies arrested the subject of the TBI investigation on the charge yesterday. It was 50-year-old Jerry Alexander. He was indicted on one count of theft of over $1,000. News is brought to you by Dr. Mark Kester, Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad Across from Chevrolet of Murfreesboro. Many of Dr. Mark Kester's patients have found relief from chronic pain when other approaches have not been successful. Call 895-1253 for your free consultation. What's that noise? It's softer. A new law went into effect on Thursday that may make your TV viewing a little more enjoyable. The CALM Act limits the volume of TV commercials. CALM stands for Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation. The new FCC rules will govern broadcasters, cable, and satellite operators. School and road zoning was up for debate at the December meeting of the Rutherford County Commission. Earlier in the year, the commission assembled a committee and charged them with the task of making recommendations on how to approach the current school and road zones, whether or not they should be redrawn, and if so, how. The committee presented their recommendation, a new rezoning and redistricting plan, an alternative to the one which has been in place for nearly 40 years, to a very hostile reception of many commissioners. They wanted to immediately strike down their proposal, even though it wasn't actually on the agenda as being up for a vote. An immediate vote was called for on the proposal and rejected. After about 2 hours of spirited debate, a vote on the new proposal was deferred until the first meeting of the new year. Follow us on Twitter at WGNS Radio for breaking news, local news on demand 24/7 at WGNSradio.com and Facebook.com/WGNSradio. This is WGNS News.
Don't know what to get that hunter or fisherman on your Christmas list? You need to stop by Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad.
Everybody we've got here hunts and fishes. We're not just a store that don't know what we're doing. We're located at 2204 Northwest Broad Street, right in front of International Paper.
This is Chuck Lewis with First Bank. It's easy this time of year to reflect on all that we're blessed with by being part of this community. As Rutherford Countyans, we benefit from excellent schools and recreational facilities, as well as a very diverse and growing economy for employment opportunities. We have professional leadership that guide our county to be recognized nationally as a preferred destination. So during this holiday season, reflect on the real reason for the season and join us at First Bank for our holiday open house December 20th and 21st. Happy holidays from First Bank, where you matter most.
WeatherEye. Mainly sunny skies in our forecast today. We'll reach a high temperature near 58 degrees, and we'll see increasing clouds tonight with lows dropping down to 40. I'm WGNS meteorologist Sandra Nyske. Right now it's 39.
And happy birthday to our birthday cake winner, Marcus Stevens, receiving the cake from Junior's Foodland. Our good neighbor of the day today, Dan Sinclair at the Pinnacle Building Services. Someone wrote in to say they were happy because he helped them out recently and did a great job. Congratulations to Dan Sinclair, winner of flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts. Hate traffic? Don't be a hater. Get a Garmin Nuvi with subscription-free traffic. It can help you avoid traffic bottlenecks and construction delays so you can keep moving and relax. Drive with Garmin, the most trusted name in GPS.
The local conversation continues now on The Truman Show. Once again, here's Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Dan Whittle. And we want to let you know that this part of his show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's onto Ridgely Road. You know, you've had such a fascinating career, Dan. You've been all over. You were in Missouri, and then you went to Nashville. You were at the Banner for a long time, and then you came to Murfreesboro. I mean, that seems like kind of a normal thing to do for people in the news media, that they will sometimes change areas. I guess In some ways, it kind of regenerates you, I guess, because you come to a new area, you get to know all the people, and you see things from a different perspective. Just like when you were in Nashville, you were in kind of like the big city atmosphere.
That was big city to me, yeah.
And you had the two major power newspapers, in Nashville, but also across the state of Tennessee, in the Banner and in the Tennessee.
And the Banner and Tennessee were recognized nationally. Jack Knox, the old editorial cartoonist for the Nashville Banner, presidents knew that man and respected that man. I've met some of the most remarkable people in the world, and journalism has, you know, afforded that. I've been around the world, paid to go due to journalism, so I'm very blessed.
And you do so much because, as everybody knows, when you're a journalist, you don't make a whole lot of money. I mean, the benefits aren't all that great. And a lot of times, a lot of the people that are the journalists do not have a whole lot of life experiences to go by when they're making judgments on other people, mm-hmm. but yet the power is still there. I've always found that fascinating, that a person can put their opinion or whatever in a news story and then just completely cause havoc wherever that is going.
And now, Paul Harvey had that gift. He could take the most delicate subjects and make it interesting. In fact, I rate Paul Harvey, pound per pound, the most intelligent human being I've ever met in my life.
How much did he weigh?
I don't know, but man, he was down to earth and he was brilliant. He could talk on any subject And of course, that's one reason I love journalism, because it's different every day.
Do you have any clue how he was able to come up with all these facts and figures? Of course, that was before computers and all the other things. And you just couldn't wait for him to come on and tell what the rest of the story was.
Well, and another person, and I met this man in Murfreesboro, mm-hmm. Art Linkletter. He reminded me of Paul Harvey, that type of mind. Mm-hmm. And but again, you're talking about down-to-earth people, brilliant people, but down-to-earth people that had the ability to laugh at themselves. Art Linkletter made millions out of talking to children.
And that's one of the more interesting things, because he took those kids. I shouldn't say this, but they're almost like a prop for him. And he was able to utilize their innocent minds. They were saying things that mom and dad had told them that probably they weren't supposed to share with anybody.
And he supported the kids, and he didn't make fun of the children and everything. He was there. Advocate, so to speak, when they would make the little family boo-boo that was mm-hmm. so hilarious that mother did this and daddy did this and everything. And of course, the rest of America just crack up.
Oh, yeah. Remember it well.
He never demeaned the children, is what I'm trying to say.
Did you ever get to meet Paul Harvey in person?
Yes. That's when I did the interview. Uh-huh. I interviewed him while I was still in Missouri. He came to town, of course, already a big celebrity back in the late 1960s. He was already nationally known. He took 2 hours to interview with me, a little unknown country bumpkin Missouri newspaper man. He took 2 hours and granted me an interview, and I was so flattered that this celebrity would grant me an interview like that.
I think that, did they not still play some of his tapes? I was thinking that, I was listening some place the other day, mm-hmm. and they were doing his,
the story thing. Yeah.
Now, locally, you've run into a lot of very interesting people here in Rutherford County. And I know that you can go out in the country here and go in any direction, and you can see a farmer out in the field, or you can see somebody doing something that just their normal routine, and you can make a story out of it. Because I think one of the biggest tragedies in people's lives is they don't take the time to actually talk to other people, because are so many interesting stories and so many historical accounts that are out there that, since I've been on the radio show, it just blows me away.
Fascinating.
What I have missed all these years by not taking that time.
When I first moved to Rutherford County, per se, was 1988. And I moved out in a little shanty sharecropper's house out in Porterfield due to the cheap rent. And I was out there
in that rural community. County side or the Rutherford County side?
It was actually it was Rutherford County, okay. But I claimed Cannon County because their license plates were cheaper than Rutherford County.
Oh, you're one of those. Yeah.
But anyway, this farmer out in Porterfield, I hadn't been moved in, I bet, 3 days. And this farmer in Porterfield stopped beside the road there and said, "Sonny, where are you from?" I said, "Missouri." He said, "Tell me what kind of neighbors you had in Missouri." And I said, "Sir, I had some of the best neighbors in the world." Well, he got back in his pickup, didn't say a word. I said, "Well, sir, if you don't mind, why did you ask me what kind of neighbors I had in Missouri?" He said, "I wanted to know about you." He said, "If you had good neighbors in Missouri, that meant you were a good neighbor." There was wisdom in that man.
Country wisdom.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Dan Whittle.
Yes, I appreciate you taking my call. Y'all were talking about Paul Harvey. I had a chance to meet his acquaintance, like you said. He was pretty much a walking computer, and I don't know where he got all this wealth of knowledge. But another question I was wanting to ask is, the Daily News Journal for years had a column by L.M. Boyd, and I was just wondering if you were familiar with that was, and just I really enjoyed his column. He also had a lot of interesting facts that I enjoyed reading. So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
He had a nuts and bolts column, interesting facts. Mm-hmm. And I always said, like myself, L.M. Boyd, he did not make it on good looks. He's one of the ugliest human beings and everything, but he was a fantastic writer.
Well, isn't that kind of a priority for a journalist? those are the types.
Truman, you're outnumbered in this studio by journalists, okay? Dan and I.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. How did you
talking
happen
about somebody's
to,
looks.
How did you happen to inherit the title journalist? I usually put that somebody with a pen in their hand, putting it down on paper that other people can read, with using some forethought.
Hey, he can spell. That's the difference in him and you.
I, back in my early days, was a writer for UPI International.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Tennessee Radio Network wrote for UPI. Uh-huh. So we did all the Tennessee news, hourly updates and such, and I was news director at WLAC in Nashville for a few years.
A journalist.
Is that right?
A real journalist.
Wow. Journalist.
So get off a journalist.
Amen.
Well, I have never said anything negative.
You just said they're ugly. Well,
he calls them like he sees them, doesn't he?
I guess.
But you know how you relate those things. But when you were at the Banner, and the Banner was a powerful player. I mean, politically, all across the state. I mean, we're talking about the Banner and the Tennessean. Nobody in that particular period, when you first started at the Banner, had as much influence. I don't care what it was, television or what. Everybody couldn't wait to read what was going on in politics or whatever in the state of Tennessee. We all know what a lot of power came out of Memphis during that time, and and it was an entirely different world politically. But did you feel that type of influence when you were at the Banner? Because I know there had to be a lot of input from the Stallmans and people like that that were actually the power brokers at the time.
Being a farm boy, I really appreciated the power that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yes, I sensed it. And when I got to come to the Nashville Banner in 71, I felt like I had arrived at the utopia of American journalism at that time, and that every journalist's goal of newspaper in that era was to work for a big city newspaper. Well, mm-hmm. I considered Nashville a big city.
It was.
What was so great about that era for Nashville per se, the Tennessean and the Banner were two of the most respected newspapers in America. One was ultra-conservative, the Banner. Tennessean's ultra-liberal, mm-hmm. still is probably, or recognized that way. Mm-hmm. And but the counterparts, they played off of each other. It was so good for the community and a healthy thing, politically speaking. But yes, I did sense the power. And there was several taboos that we had at the Banner. We were, like I say, ultra-conservative. We could not be critical of Vanderbilt. We could not be critical of the Boy Scouts. Just several idiosyncrasies like that. And we didn't associate the newsroom of the Banner and the newsroom of the Tennessean were located about 10 feet apart through this hallway. Mm-hmm. And we did not associate with those liberals from the Tennessean mm-hmm. Newsroom. But yes, I did. I did sense the power that we had. And I respected. I really respected people like Jack Knox, the Elmer Hinton, the columnist, the old columnist for the mm-hmm. Tennessean. It was, I think, America's most healthy era socially, politically, economically, and health-wise, because you had two opposing political viewpoints at the respective newspapers, and everybody knew it.
Well, financially, it was successful for both entities, the Banner and the Tennessean. But the thing that I've always wondered about, if I was sitting in the chair of a journalist, and I know that I have the opportunity to sway public opinion one way or the other. I get into the heads of every reader out there one way or the other. Did you ever think about your responsibility as to what you were doing, and is this something that is going to be a positive situation for the people, and how is it going to reflect on the community and in government in your area? Because it is an awesome responsibility. I'm not sure that everybody takes that to heart that's in that business as to what they're actually doing and who all is affected by it.
Regretfully, you're exactly right. I did think of that, and it was such an honor as a country boy to be in that chosen profession. Mm-hmm. I actually would pray and study about that, and where probably I learned at the Banner that I was not a natural investigative, hard-nosed newspaper man. I would go to murder scenes and murder trials, all right? I wasn't bleeding for the perpetrator, the criminal, mm-hmm. but I would sympathize with his poor family that he had wrecked because of his crime.
Right.
Yeah, and a sense of compassion, I guess, is what I'm trying to talk about. It was in that era that I began to learn you can do a lot more with being a builder as a journalist than a destroyer. And it was in that era that I changed my style of reporting.
I think that one of the things that's most important is to have led life, to have seen people in all types of situations, reflect on who all is being affected by the story that you're putting out. And, you know, it's one thing to sell newspapers, but it's another thing to be responsible for the content that's in those newspapers. And I personally have seen people that have been needlessly harmed and affected by stories.
Sensationalism.
Their families and others. Mm-hmm. And I have also seen people gain awards for their stories that I would consider nothing but trash.
Sensationalism, yes. Is what it used to be called.
Yes, and it's still going on. And I mean, it's one of those things, if you look down into a lot of the supposedly factual information that's been put down, a lot mm-hmm. of it is opinionated, and it has been swayed a lot of it by a person's own feelings.
Well, now in the media, and I'm talking mainly about the broadcast television media,
right.
Now we're shouting at one another, mm-hmm. screaming to be heard as journalists, and that's not the way to go about it. You earn the respect of the readers is the way that I would try to approach it.
And I think right now, local newspapers, locally owned newspapers that are in our smaller towns and even our middle-sized communities now seem to have more respect from the public, the readers, the honest, intelligent readers. They seem to be able to assimilate that and put it in a more positive perspective as to maybe have, maybe you feel like that what you're reading is more factual than what you would get from another newspaper that really doesn't seem to have the community's interest at heart.
Last night we had the board of directors as part of the Christmas party at Paleo's. I thanked that board of directors personally for allowing us to have a community-oriented, locally owned newspaper, and the board of directors there for allowing us to have that type of journalism and still yet in our community. And Woodbury has a good paper named the Cannon Courier. And we're very blessed that way. I think newspapers will survive in cities the size of Murfreesboro, Shelbyville, Woodbury, Lebanon, on down. I think as long as we remain community activists, serving the needs of the community, a builder when we have the opportunity to be a builder in the community. WGNS is a prime example,
yes.
of service to the community. In fact, their call letters represent the Good Neighbor Station.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in that principle as a newspaper man.
Well, you know, of course, it's just like anything else. WGNS has gone over all types of changes over the years, but it's never lost the public trust. And they know that it's almost like WGNS, Murfreesboro Post, you've got the Cannon County Courier. It's like going into a country store when you open the paper or when you turn on your radio, and then you start listening to the things that are going on in your community and the things that you're really interested in. And you don't have to drive 10 miles out to the country store and get a cup of coffee and be with everybody, although I still miss that a whole lot.
When I leave here today, I'm very fortunate. I've got a meeting at Paleo's Restaurant. It blesses me to walk into a restaurant, so to speak, and people say, hey, I read your column, or hey, I agree with you, or hey, I don't agree with what you said in that column, and that's fine too. Mm-hmm. But it does prove the fact that the readership is still there. People are interested in their community. One of the big debates right now in Woodbury, the Highway 70S is going to be modernized from Woodbury on over to McMinnville.
Wow.
All right, it's going to be widened into four lanes. And the debate is whether to bring the arteries still in the downtown area of Woodbury or bypass Woodbury. Well, as a journalist, I would recommend that they bring the two four lanes and make them one way, but still bring them through the heart of downtown Woodbury, because I think that will prolong the life of a very healthy present-day economy. And bring in the antique shops. Mm-hmm. Woodbury has an opportunity for tourism dollars, especially with the distillery now up on Short Mountain, which is a great tourism attraction. They've got the art center of Cannon County there. So I would recommend that they bring these two loops downtown Woodbury instead of doing a bypass around Woodbury.
We're going to take a quick break, but I want to let you know that you heard it first, that Dan Whittle is recommending that the John Bragg Highway go straight through Woodbury, tear the courthouse down, and make room for the new artery. And we'll be right back with you.
Don't know what to get that hunter or fisherman on your Christmas list? You need to stop by Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad.
Everybody we've got here hunts and fishes, and we're not just a store that don't know what we're doing. Everybody here knows what's going on.
That's Randy Boland at Murfreesboro Outdoors.
We got clothing, camouflage from top to bottom. Shotguns, shells, boots, pretty much anything. We got it.
Remember Murfreesboro Outdoors for that hunter or fisherman on your Christmas list.
We're located at 2204 Northwest Broad Street, right in front of International Park.
So, here you go.
Are we exchanging gifts this year?
I don't know. Guess I had a weak moment. Happy holidays.
Oh, well, thanks, bro, but I didn't get you anything.
Oh, that's okay. You're going to have to take that back anyway.
What do you mean? Like, to the store?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a return.
Lottery ticket. Thanks.
Check it out.
Whoa, this is a winner. Dude, this is a big winner.
Hey, just taking care of my little brother.
This year, you too can be a winner. Give the gift of game-changing fun. Happy holidays from the Tennessee Lottery.
It's really not much. It's nothing,
oh,
really.
Oh, hush. I'm sure I'm going to love it.
No, really. It's just a little
something. It's a candle.
Yeah, it's pine forest, I think.
Wait, is this the candle you got last year?
I don't think it's the same one.
This is. It's the candle your brother gave you.
It might be the same kind of candle.
Give the gift that won't be regifted. Instant games from the Tennessee Lottery. Play Season's Gold and Trim the Tree, just to name a few. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
Could have gotten you a sweater.
It's time. Blue Raiders.
Support your Blue Raiders as they compete for back-to-back Sun Belt Conference titles. Men's and women's basketball combo season tickets are on sale now and start as low as $199. Don't miss a single three-pointer. Score a slam dunk with season tickets today.
Show your true blue. Support your Blue Raiders. Tickets available at GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Go Blue Raiders.
We're talking with Dr. Rishi Saxena, this area's only certified physician in heart CT, about the 64-slice CT scan.
Before you go for heart catheterization because of chest pain or minor abnormality in stress test, you need to consider this non-invasive device to find out about the blockage. Or if you just have risk factor, you're not having any chest pain, you want to find out plague early so you could act on it.
No needles, no pain, it only takes minutes. Call 896-4800. Dr. Rishi Saxena.
Let Jeff Sowell's Family Restaurant prepare your deep-fried or smoked turkey for Christmas. 867-2164. Complete meals are prepared and ready for pickup when you need it. 867-2164.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with us. And you know, one of the funniest stories that you have ever done, it may be the funniest to me because I know about the nudist colony. we've had to answer calls out there before. And when you went out there, of course, you took your ukulele with you. And it had to have been one of the best stories that I have ever read. And kind of give us a little background on it.
Well, we call it, it went down in history. It's still talked about in journalism.
Yeah.
The naked wedding, mm-hmm. and I had been assigned to cover the naked wedding. Mm-hmm. How do you cover a naked wedding? Very carefully. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I covered the naked wedding at Rock mm-hmm. Haven. And it's the best lead on the story is the best lead I'll ever write. Mm-hmm. And the lead on the story at the wedding was the bride wore body glitter. The groom, mm-hmm. he wore a smile and a bow tie. And the man of the cloth who
performed... So it was formal. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the man of the cloth who performed the wedding, he wore no cloth at all. And that story went national. Mm-hmm. I mean national. In fact, I was offered an international public relations journalism job mm-hmm. out of that story because it went all around the world.
Now, it wasn't one of our local ministers, I presume, that performed the
Actually,
wedding.
It was a Methodist minister from Crossville. And
does he specialize in those type weddings?
I didn't get that far, but I tell you what, that was the most awesome, prettiest bride I have ever seen in my life, and her body was covered in body glitter.
Kind of like the James Bond,
Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
Yeah, and but it was a riot, and I met some of the nicest people. They did ask me, said, "Mr. Whittle, when you come out and cover the wedding, do you want to disrobe and take your clothes off?" And I blushed. I said, "You just had a blessing because I'm not going to take my clothes off."
But did you take your camera? Because you are a professional cameraman too right now, right?
I'm an amateur cameraman.
No, you're a professional because you have some great... You brought a picture of Brian in today, and it was absolutely as good as any picture I've ever seen.
And, well, Brian, being a journalist, is easy to make look good.
Yeah, yeah.
How was that, Brian? Was that pretty good?
That was great.
I love photography. And... You'd think going out there, I had never been to Rock Haven. Uh-huh. You'd think going out there, man, I'm a man. I'm going to look at them pretty women. I'm going to get me an...
You said that?
To myself.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And I said, hey, and I'm going to look at all those pretty, beautiful women and everything. Honey, I got out there so shy, I skinned the bark off the trees looking up to keep from looking at anybody. That's the truth. Now, how I took my pictures, I did take pictures. Mm-hmm. And we made pictures, and I think we covered up some vital parts with leaves of a tree mm-hmm. to shield the picture that, when it came that, out on the front page.
That would have been very tough to do. I mean, guys can talk all they want to, but you put them in a situation like that, you don't want to go. I mean, you really don't.
I wondered all night, how am I going to handle this, you know? And be respectful, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it ended up a great experience. In fact, they invited me back. To cover, if it ever happened, uh-huh. to cover the naked funeral. And so far, that hasn't happened, and so I've never covered the naked funeral. But I was invited back. If they ever had a naked funeral, I was supposed to be the journalist that got to cover it.
So you went out the same way you came in?
Yeah, well, so to speak.
That's pretty interesting. And to think of you out there, I can't help but laugh every time I think about it because you're the type of person, you got to make a joke out of everything. And I can't see that you got out of there unscathed at all.
The one thing I loved about that, George, I can't think of his last name now, that owned the Rock Haven at the time, and they were worldwide recognized nudist community.
People didn't even know it was in the community.
Mm-mm. And the Chamber of Commerce would go out and hold Chamber of Commerce after
oh,
I
really?
Was out there, yeah, and everything. And it was, to their credit, the Chamber of Commerce here will tell you in the business
community. Was it
casual
dress or business dress?
The Chamber of Commerce will tell you they've never had a bad check come out of Rock Haven. Nobody's ever left the community not paying their bills from citizens that participate in the nudist community.
You can't cover anything up there at all, can you?
No, you can't. Pun.
That one is one of the stories, as you say, went nationwide. How did How did they cover that? Did they utilize your same story that you wrote, and it was what sent out on AP or UP or however they did that?
Associated Press. I had buddies from England, Romania, Czechoslovakia that read the stories, and and of course nudism as a phenomena is practiced a lot more in Europe than
it's
it is in America.
Yeah, we're so tied up here socially. I mean, we're more Puritan.
Well, now, when you was in the sheriff's department, didn't you get some complaints from the Rockhaven management people to make airplanes quit flying over the community out there on Bradyville Pike?
No.
You didn't.
No,
I thought you did.
Because, we would have no control over that anyway. The airways are wide open, as you well know.
One of the things we had a lot of fun with when they would do a clothing drive at Rockhaven. That always cracked me up. We're doing a clothing drive at Rockhaven News Colony.
Now, you have written stories over the years. Have you ever aggravated anybody enough on your stories? And you know they're all tongue-in-cheek. And I know you've written some stories on me that I just thought were absolutely hilarious, but my wife probably didn't. But have you ever got the ire of anybody that you've written stories on so much that they almost probably threatened you? And I don't want to bring up any names or anyone.
I have been threatened, but not for the humor stuff. When you get into crimes and family tragedy and everything, that comes natural with the territory. So I've been threatened several times, but never with the sense of humor.
But you were on the police beat. It really wasn't that long. I was trying to remember, you went from there to doing your columns.
My human interest in people stories, And that's one of the smartest things. I figured out about 30 years ago that the internet and computers were going to change my industry to the point that newspapers had to become relevant in a different way to survive. So I went for the people stories, the human interest stories, real people trying to get through this world, and it's worked for me.
And people relate to other people in a community the size of Rutherford County still. I mean, you've got the old guard that's still here where they got roots for 200 or 300 years and it's always been their home. But you've got such a new bunch that's coming in. How do you relate them into the community as they come in? Because there's so many people that I don't even know anymore.
Well, that is a factor, and that bears on your mind how you relate to present day. The one thing that I try to do is remain relevant, and doing that is my main goal. And if you listen to people and take care of the community will take care of you.
Well, you'll always be relevant.
You're very kind.
Your name will be kicked around long after both of us.
I've been kicked around a lot.
Yeah. And you've earned it too, big boy. Thanks for being on, Mr. Dan Whittle, my good friend.
Honored to be here.
And we will be back Monday morning at 9 o'clock. I'm going to have a great week next week. See you then.